Thine own soul a sword has pierced. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jordan Allman, in his Spiritual Theology, makes the following observation. Our flesh wars against us without ceasing. It wages war against us in two distinct manners, by its instinctive horror of suffering and by its insatiable desire for pleasure. The first is an obstacle to sanctification. The second can compromise our eternal salvation. The horror of suffering is the sorrow in the soul and body at the prospect of suffering. It is also a fear in which one loathes the future suffering which is viewed as evil or harmful. And this horror of suffering is one of the defects of original sin. This horror can be appetitive, that is, emotional. We can simply fear doing something that has some pain or sorrow attached to it. This horror can be intellectual, insofar as we don't even want to think of things that are painful or difficult, or things which are contrary to our patterns of thinking. This horror can be volitional, insofar as our will is attached to the goods of the body which it seeks and desires, and its habits of turning away, and its aversion from suffering and pain. One of the greatest forms of suffering is due to something contrary to our will, and people have a horror for those things which are contrary to their self-will. This is one of the principal reasons why there are so few saints, for many souls who strive for sanctity do not want to enter into the way of suffering. It is therefore necessary to decide, once and for all, to embrace suffering as God wishes to send it to us. Sickness, persecution, injustice, calumny, humiliation, disappointment, or whatever he wishes, and in whatever manner he wishes. The attitude of soul must be one of personal fiat, a total abandonment to God without reserve, a complete subjection to God's loving providence, so that he may do with the soul as he wishes, both in time and in eternity. For Christ himself even said, if anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him renounce himself and take up his cross and follow me. And the cross is the symbol of suffering. Yet, like every defect, there are certain effects, and sometimes in Latin called the daughters of a particular vice or defect. And the daughters of the horror of suffering are many. In a certain respect, there are as many as there are in respect to pride. For out of a fear of suffering, people will perpetrate every sin in order to avoid suffering. But there are certain sins which are directly connected to the horror of suffering, or which are more manifest of it. And the first, of course, is pride. Because anybody who suffers from the horror of suffering is unwilling to suffer humiliation, and especially the external humiliations in the eyes of others, in order to obtain holy humility. One of the daughters of the horror of suffering is spiritual tepidity, or lukewarmness. This is because people are unwilling to do the suffering necessary to go through the purification process in order to obtain sanctity. Another daughter is the lack of charity. This is a result, or a coldness, as a result of willing to suffer people's defects and to be charitable in spite of the fact that it is uncomfortable and not pleasant. Sometimes some past bad experience can result in the person not willing to suffer it, even in memory. They don't even want to think about it or even to deal with it. And so they ignore it and they don't deal with it. Those who are suffering do not like pleasant conversation or relationships. And so those who often suffer don't want the further suffering of having to be kind and to fulfill their obligations under the fourth commandment and have charity and have proper conversation with those around them. Another daughter is a lack of detachment. People are unwilling to suffer the letting go of something that they are attached to because this involves a certain amount of self-denial. Attachments can be the cause of every defect, and everything from compulsive behavior about things to mental illness to sinfulness and every other defect. Yet the fact of the matter is that unless a person is willing to become detached, they will always suffer a certain spiritual lukewarmness because they will not be willing to suffer the loss of the things to which they are attached. Then there is, of course, human respect. This is an unwillingness to suffer a lower estimation in the eyes of others. Disobedience, an unwilling to do the will of another because it is a suffering to do someone else's will rather than our own. Then there is anger. Anger is a complex passion. St. Thomas says that it is at once the passion which arises in the experience of some evil, that is, something that we have love, that is, to which we have an attachment to, either ourselves or some other thing, is injured or harmed in some way. And then out of that arises a desire for vindication, that is, the person wants to harm the other people who are causing the harm to him or the thing that they love. And so what can happen is that those who do not want to suffer will in fact develop the vice of anger because they will seek to vindicate, that is, to harm other people so that they themselves do not have to suffer the evil that they undergo. There is intellectual error. Because people are unwilling to suffer, they will end up in all forms of heresy. For example, many traditionalists think it is acceptable to engage in schismatic worship because they cannot suffer the idea, even the idea, of having to go to the new mass to fulfill their Sunday obligation, or to accept that there are so many bishops and clergy who aren't as ordered as they would like, yet they are in legitimate positions of authority. So it is easier for them just to act as if they don't hold these positions or act as if they aren't the Pope or things of this sort. The horror of suffering and the intellectual error arising from that horror of suffering is the principal cause of state of econtism. And what does this all mean? It means that the horror of suffering will ultimately lead to a hatred of the truth because the person will turn away from the truth because the truth very often comes with the cross. This means that those who have a horror of suffering will eventually become liars because they will be unwilling to suffer the truth. And that will usually begin in the little things, that is, lying to people on the telephone or lying to those around them so that they don't have to suffer in dealing with telling the truth and the consequences that come with that. But eventually it leads to an actual hatred of the truth. Then it leads to discord and contention, because we are unwilling to suffer in order to smooth out relationships. In other words, we're unwilling to swallow our pride and approach the person in humility and seek their forgiveness. It is also the result of unwillingness to suffer the defects of others, while at the same time being willing to make other people suffer so that they don't have to suffer, which means that in the end, it leads to a certain kind of cruelty. Then there is the lack of fortitude, which is the result of the horror of suffering. People are unwilling to engage what is arduous because it requires a certain amount of suffering. And in men, this leads to a certain kind of effeminacy. You see it, for example, when a saint one time said that when men are unwilling to put aside matters that pertain to the sixth commandment, they will concede the headship of their household to their wife. Men have ceased being men, at least most of them, and women have ceased pursuing virtue because of the horror of suffering. The cure of Ars once said that the greatest suffering he had was because he did not have a love of crosses, because, of course, they keep coming. This is, of course, the valley of tears. And so what happens is the person not only suffers the cross, that is the thing they're suffering, as well as the suffering that goes along with it being contrary to their will. Once they love the cross, that is, once it becomes according to their will, then the cross, though it causes suffering, brings joy, and that mitigates the suffering. So how do we overcome the horror of suffering? Well, first, we must ask for a thirst for suffering. And this comes by acceptance of our duties according to our state in life. We must never omit any of our duties because of the suffering or difficulty involved. This is the initial grade or degree. It is absolutely necessary for all, and it's only the beginning. The exact fulfillment of our duties and obligations according to our state in life is absolutely indispensable for the crucifixion of self, that is, for the passing through the active and the passive purgation. But this exact fulfillment of one's duties according to one's state in life requires a person to accept the humiliation of recognizing their place that God has chosen for them. Most people are unwilling to recognize their place because of the false egalitarianism that rules our culture. Once one person is not willing to suffer a lower place in relationship to another, and this is evidenced by a disordered feminism which has beset our culture. And again, the feminism is ultimately the result of the fact that men were effeminate and tolerated such things. There is an insistence on a democracy in all things, which levels any sense of hierarchy, which is one of the reasons why people have such a hard time and difficulty in dealing with the old mass, because of the fact that there is a hierarchical structure built into it. There is also a refusal to submit to legitimate authority. Then there is, of course, the necessity to resign to crosses. That's the next level. It is a common misperception that once one gets married, for example, they get whatever they want. Yet anybody who has been married for any length of time knows that entrance into marriage is in fact a sake of denying oneself for not getting what one wants, because in most of marriage, self-denial is more necessary than joy taken in delight. Then there is the necessity for voluntary mortification. That is, one must have a love of suffering by voluntarily practicing Christian mortification in its various forms. This love of suffering is the result of one desiring the virtue, or begetting a certain amount of virtue, that is, developing the virtue of mortification, which is part of the virtue of sacrifice. So one must always be willing to offer everything up, and in that way he will develop the virtue of sacrifice. Next, he must prefer suffering to pleasure. The saints hardly took any account of themselves at all, or of the heroism that such an attitude presupposes. To endeavor always to incline oneself, not to which is easier, but to that which is more difficult, not to that which is tasty, but to that which is bitter, not to that which is more pleasing, but to that which is less pleasing, not to that which gives rest, but to that which demands effort, not to that which is a consolation, but to that which is a source of sorrow. Moreover, not to that which is more, but to that which is less. Not to the lofty and to the precious, but to the lowly and the despicable. Not to that which is to be something, but to that which is to be nothing. Not to be seeking the best in temporal things, but the worst. These words, of course, are completely foreign and completely contrary to the entire mindset behind modern culture. The last stage in overcoming the horror of suffering consists in offering oneself as a victim's soul for the expiation for the sins of the world. And this sublime act is completely above the ordinary way of grace, and therefore should never be done without first consulting a spiritual director. It is presumption for a beginner or even imperfectly purified soul to place itself in this state. To be called a victim is easy, and it pleases self-love. But truly to be a victim demands a purity, a detachment from creatures, a heroic abandonment to all kinds of suffering, to humiliation, to ineffable obscurity, to a denial of self, that I should consider, or one should consider it, either foolish or miraculous. If one who is at the beginning of the spiritual life should attempt to do that which is the divine master did not do except by degrees. I have seen people do this, that is, take on this state, that is, ask our Lord to be a victim soul long before they were properly prepared for it, and which their state did not permit it. And it turned out very bad. But we must be clear. This is the goal. We must be willing to sacrifice ourselves entirely to God if we are to obtain a perfect conquering of the horror of suffering. You will not advance in the spiritual life unless you overcome this horror of suffering. Our Lady accepted the seven sorrows. She did not at all suffer from the horror of suffering, and therefore we must take her as our model, along with our Lord, whose most sacred heart was crowned with thorns. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.